Parshat Lech Lecha is, of course, the formal introduction to Abraham. And on the one hand, we are interested in both from the Chumash and from the Midrashim to learn a lot about Abraham's greatness in terms of what his own accomplishments are. But one particular accomplishment that he had, which is the source of today's year, is not so much in terms of his own development, but rather on his ability to be a marvis, to share, and to spread, and to inspire his relationship with Hashem to other people. The basis of this comes from the pasuk, the well-known pasuk in Perek Beis, pasuk Hey, right after Hashem has told Abraham Lech Lecha, that's through Gimel, pasuk Dalet, Abraham, we're told, goes on his way, and then we're told as well that Abraham takes Sarai Ishto and Lo, his nephew, and all of the property, the Es HaNefesh Asher Asu Bechara, and the soul, the singular, or souls, that were made in Haran. That's obviously a weird kind of a phrase. We don't know A, who they're talking about. B, people aren't usually made. So what does that mean? So here Rashi quotes from the Chazal. It's a Medrash of Rishis Rabbah. It's also in the Yalkut. And we know there's a Rashi. Rashi tells us, who are these people? Those Shechnisan Tachas Kankei Shechina. Those who Avram brought under the influence of the Shechina. Avram Agayar Sa'anashim, Sarah Megayeres Hanashim. If they had parallel Kirub Yeshivas, Avram was Karev and Megayer the men, Sarah the women. And you see from the way the Torah refers to it is that if you are bring someone, you inspire someone to convert, it's as if you've created them. Obviously, you've had a very significant influence on their life. It's interesting that there seems to have been a lot of people, just as an impression of the Medrash. The Rambam describes in the beginning of the Avodah Zarah also just a massive number of people. So, just before we get to the main part of the shir, but I was wondering, so what happened to them? Ki b'Yitzchak yikar l'chazara, Avram is told, who's his legacy? Who's the next generation? The next generation is Yitzchak. It's one guy. It's not even two, because his brother goes off the Dera. It's one person, it's Yitzchak. So what happened to all these millions, I think? Certainly hundreds of thousands, I think even millions of Gerim. So I don't know if there's a huge literature on this, but just a number of years ago I came across a tshuva of the Maritz, and then just this week, a rabbi from Pittsburgh, anyone here from Pittsburgh? No? Okay, a rabbi from Pittsburgh, a lady Langer, emailed me, and he made me aware of a Pardes Yosef that quotes a similar idea in the name of the Alexander Rebbe. But it's already a Maritz. Maritz doesn't explain it. But Maritz says it's not. The Maritz talks about something else. Maritz is talking about how could there be Gerus in the time of Abraham? There was no Torah yet. Part of Gerus is accepting the mitzvot. There were really no mitzvot yet. So he bases himself on a Gemara that there was a notion of Torah even in the time of Abraham. And this is an interesting topic, but not ours. And he says, therefore, they were Gerim in this time. They were, when the Rashi or the Medrashman says Gerim, they mean it. And then he just mentions, you know, parenthetically, Derech Agav, Kala Gerim Shneskayim Imo, Bahoyu Bechlala Umos, Imlo Shnitnu Acharka. That somehow, when they came into the Tachas Kankashina, the Rashi mentions, they were no longer Goyim. It doesn't just mean that they were ethical monotheists, but Goyim. Somehow, no, the Rashi, the Chazal, mean they were, maybe there was no notion of really being a Jew in that point, but they were no longer what they were. Their status somehow changed. Okay, but what's interesting to me is then he says, until they were, somehow they lost it. The Maritz makes, as far as I know, he's the earliest source. There could be others, I haven't done that much research on it, but as far as I know, he's the earliest source. He says, and phenomenon, you know what happened to them? They all got off the bandwagon. He doesn't explain why. In this Pardes Yosef, he quotes from the Alexander Rebbe that they weren't as inspired by Yitzchak. It was a certain cult of personality almost. I mean, I'm reading that into it, but this is what he says. He says, after Abraham died, they were still there, but they didn't fall off the wagon in Abraham's lifetime. He specifically says, once Abraham died, Yitzchak just didn't inspire them anymore. They cooled off. That's his language. They cooled off, and then they left. So that's really interesting. That's true. But Marit doesn't mention when, but he does say that they left. So that's unfortunately a depressing postscript to the story. Sometimes in life we have all different accomplishments and they don't always last. But leave that aside. What you see from the Rashi, the basic point I'm bringing out, is that there's a notion, the first time obviously in history, it's only the third parsha, so everything here is pretty new, is the notion for the first time that we learn of Gerus, of conversion. In fact, we learn also from the parsha about Avraham's own circumcision as bris milah, and our poskim will say that that circumcision was a circumcision of gerus, that Avraham himself underwent a certain process of gerus through the circumcision. So what I'd like to do for the shiur here is to share with you what I think is an interesting topic halakhically, and it is includes a fascinating story, a true historical event, just from mid-19th century, to illustrate one particular law of gerus. There's a lot of hilchos gerus, and there's a lot of good halakha, a lot of good lomdus in gerus. But one topic I want to mention is straightforward, and that is the following. In order for a person to convert, a man, we're not talking about a man, that he needs, according to the Torah, he really needed four things, basically. Mila, he has to get a bris mila, he has to go to the mikvah, there's a Kabbalah Samitzvos, and at the time of the Beis Hamikdash, you also had to bring a carbon. Gemara Rebbe Yevamo says without a Beis Hamikdash, the carbon part is waived, but Adi Yomazad, there's three components for every male to convert. He has a bris mila, here he had a bris mila, then he has to have what they call a couple of bris. He has to do something in a religious context, he has to go to the mikvah, he's a Kabbalah Mitzvos, and then he can become a convert. The Gemara, if you look at number two in Yevamo, Safim Abav, has a long discussion. We have many halachos, bini eved, are they really all necessary? What if one went to the mikvah and didn't have a bris, or one went to the bris, had the bris, but didn't yet have the mikvah? What is the status of that process? Of that person, if that's where they are. The Gemara has a back and forth, and in the end, the Gemara concludes, Amar b'chia bar Abba Amar b'yachanan, the olam einu ger, ad shiyimo b'yachanan. You have to have both. Without both, you're not a ger. If you just have one, that's not sufficient. And there's different cases in history that are brought, the whole conversation, the whole discussion covers over an amud, but that's the bottom line, and that's how we pass in Adi Yomazah and Shulchan Roshanim and Shulchan Aruch. Obviously, a woman doesn't need mila, she just says the tefila. But a male convert needs to have mila, bris mila, and he needs to have tefila. Yes? So there's Kabbalah Samitzvos, which the Gemara is not discussing here. That's something, obviously, that's going to be more internal. You definitely need Kabbalah Samitzvos. The Gemara, you absolutely need Kabbalah Samitzvos. Absolutely. I mean, that's part of the discussion that maybe some of you are familiar with. There's been huge in the last few years, huge discussions in Israel and America, a lot of gerus controversies. You have a lot of conversions. Either they're happening in normal circumstances, but maybe it's not such particular of rabbis, or you have also extenuating circumstances with the Russian Olim, and you have all these population of a million people in Israel now who aren't necessarily observant, but they want to be Jewish, they think they're Jewish. A lot of complicated cases where certain poskim, you know, may have certain intent. But we poskim, certainly you need those three. What is, can we be lenient and a lighter definition, and what does it mean, and what if someone promises, but then later than not so firm? Those are discussions which are much more complicated. If you become a wonderful rabbi, you learn the Hosgeris, and you learn all the Tshuva Sfarim literature, that would be for that. I think last year I gave a shiur on Kabbalah Samitzvos for Gerus, didn't I? I think we gave such a shiur. I think it's in the files. You could ask me if I can't remember everything. Okay. So the Gemara says, and we posture this way, that you need a bris mila. In fact, the Gemara says, as we mentioned, Yevamos, again, we're going to see two Gemaras, and hopefully later in the shiur I'll show you a nuanced difference between them. The Gemara says, Eino ger, achivo vitko. Or a parallel Gemara in Brachos. We don't have time for me to give you the context of why this is a Brachos, but it relates to a Brachos theme. But the bottom line is the Gemara concludes there as well. The old Ger, excuse me, the old Eino Ger, Hashimo Yitbo, Kamba Delo Tabal, Nafrihu. So you did the Bris Mila first, but you didn't get to the Tfila. It's nothing, Nafrihu. It's as if you're still a non-Jew. Go to the mikvah, then you'll convert, then you'll become a Jew. Yes.
You can do it all the way around.
No, you don't. You have to do Bris Mila first.
Why?
For now, come. That's a different shir. Have to do machlokas for Rishonim. The order is Mila first. What if you do the order in reverse? That's a machlokas for Rishonim to the essential Shulchan Aruch. Okay?
But from the first Gemara, it would seem that you can, because it says, well, if you do Tfila and not Mila.
We reject that, but we say you can't. You need to do them. And it's, again, everyone agrees that the order of the Chachila is Mila first. There's a Machlokas Rishonim, I think it's the Ramban and the Ran, if I remember correctly, that about what happens, but yeah, but if you reverse the order, and I think they're both brought down to our two opinions. Okay, now so far we have the one. Namely, I'm going to do a 1 plus 1 equals 2 here for you. The one is that you need to have Mila and Tefila in order to be a Ger. Number two, which means, as the Gemara just said, you're a guy until then. Take a look at the Gemara Sanhedrin. Now I'm going to give you a first out of left field, which is the following. The Gemara says, Amar Reish Lakish, Sanhedrin Daf Nun Ches, Nofri Shashavas, Chayiv Misa. It's not just that the non-Jews don't have to keep Shabbos, and they're so lucky they don't have all the halachos and the details of Shabbos. It's more than that. Shabbos is one of the two things that the Gemara says that a non-Jew is not allowed to observe. Goy Shashavas under the penalty of Misa. That's a capital offense. Goy Shashavas, Chayiv Misa. Why should that be? What's the source? The Gemara quotes a pasuk. And what exactly does that mean? Does Shabbos mean our Shabbos? It means not working. It means like Sunday in the States. That's also a big discussion in the poskim, what that means. Not our topic. But one thing we know now is a goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So one piece of information is that a goy who wants to convert, but has only done the milah, not yet the tefillah, what is he at that point? A goy. That's one. Plus one, a guy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. So l'chora, 1 plus 1 equals 2. If I have somebody who is in the process of converting, he's done his milah, but he did not yet do his tefillah, what should be the psak?
Break Shabbos.
That he can't keep Shabbos. And this brings us to a great story. 1848. Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh. It's a true story. An unbelievable story. There was a Moroccan non-Jew, I don't know how he got inspired. He was inspired and he wanted to convert, he wanted to become Jewish. He went through the process and he had the Mila. And usually we do the Mila early in the week. The person has enough time to heal, he can go to the mikvah, and then right in time for Shabbos. For whatever reason, he had not healed, and he had not yet gone to the mikvah. Came Shabbos, and he is observing Shabbos. Why he was observing, he didn't realize, I don't know, but he was observing Shabbos. Three quarters through the day, Shabbos afternoon, Shalashudas time, somebody realizes from the Jewish community in Yerushalayim that this fellow, Muhammad, not yet Moshe, is keeping Shabbos. And the person knows the Gemara Sanhedrin. So he wants to ask a Shiloh what to do. He goes to the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim. And the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim in 1848 was the legendary Shmuel Salant. Just one problem. Shmuel Salant was in Europe raising money to support the Yishuv. He's out of town. But, like any good professional, he had a fill-in, he had a sub in his place. A Talmid Chacham named of Osher Lemel. Not as famous as Shmuel Salant, but apparently was a Talmid Chacham in his own right. And they asked Rabbi Shlomo the Shiloh, what should we do? Rabbi Shlomo, you know, says, this is not exactly a complicated one. You could paskin it for me. 1 plus 1 equals 2. You can't keep Shabbos. And the way the story goes, and we have, not firsthand, but close to it, second-hand testimony from some of the Gedolim of that generation, who wrote up this discussion afterwards, because you'll see in a minute there's going to be a big tumult. They showed up the shluchim of the Rav went back to Muhammad Nayyid Moshe. They told him Mechal Shabbos, and as you know, Shalashudas time was ebbing away, those last months of Shabbos, he did a malacha with tears going down his cheek. He was so brokenhearted, he felt already such a kirvus alokim, he couldn't imagine being Mechal Shabbos. But they told him that the Rav says he has to do it. And then a day or two later, he fully healed, he went to the mikvah, and he became Moshe. As far as he was concerned, his life moved on. However, Muhammad may have moved on to Moshe, but Rav Shlomo's life was never the same. When word got out about his psak, it's always hard to be the son. When word got out of Rav Shlomo's psak, there was a huge tumult. And you've been here a little bit, some of you have already been over here. It's hard for you to imagine, right? There could be a tumult in Yerushalayim. Right? Shocking how things have changed. Anyway, there's a big tumult in Kolkores. People are very upset at the Rav. How could you do such a thing? We've had many gerim over the centuries, over the generations. We never heard of such a thing of making a prospective gerim in Mechal Shabbos in the middle. So sure enough, Rav Shlomo's under attack. So he sends letters, as far as I know, to two people. There's Shmuel Salant, who's in Europe, who's his main boss, so to speak, the chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, Gedolei Hador, and one of the other Gedolei Hador of Chutz Lauritz, of Yaakov Ettlinger, Germany, who is the head of the Ashkenazic Jewry. He's the author of the Tshuvas Binyan Sion, Aruch Laner on Shas, Yaakov Ettlinger. And he sends letters to them telling them, this is what happened. As far as I'm concerned, it's very simple. 1 + 1 = 2. They give me a hard time. Yeah, so can you just tell everyone that I was right, and I'm going to be good. Didn't work out that way. Both Rav Yaakov Ettlinger and Rav Shmuel Salant write back. They disagree with the psak. And what I want to share with you is something really interesting. In the discussion between these three poskim, and obviously we'll share some other marginal comments as well, what emerged is not just a machlokas lamaisa, what to do with this guy, but in fact, even though Rav Yaakov Ettlinger and Shmuel Salant agreed, frankly, that he should have kept Shabbos against the psak as it originally was delivered, but even they disagreed, and therefore there's really three opinions among the three. What is the status of this guy? What is the status of a Ger Shemal, but below Tava? He had not yet been gone to Mecca. We have presented it until now very straightforward. But in this discussion, it emerged that it's much more complicated and much more subtle. And in fact, what I want to show you is that there are, not only from these two, but more broadly, three different approaches to understanding this personality. Again, it's really a fascinating shiloh. Is there the possibility of being a partial Jew? Right, we're always brought up to believe that there is no such thing. Not so simple. So let's start with what is simple, and then we'll merge to what's more complicated. What is simple is the first approach. The first approach is, as we seem to say from the simple readings of the Gemara, that somebody who has not yet had tefillah is still a total non-Jew. He's a totally a guy. Rav Asher Lemel himself writes this in his letter to Rav Yaakov Ettlinger. This is a simple reading of the Gemara. Furthermore, other sources, other postings seem to write this explicitly. The Avnei Yezer has a tshuva in Yerideya Simin Shin Nun Aleph, where he also assumes that Yer Shemad Lo Tavol, not for you, is a guy, the Gemara said. Now, if that's the case, we said, well, then it should be partial, right? 1 + 1 = 2. If you hold he's a goy should Shabbos is chayav misa. Obviously, he can't keep Shabbos. So it's worth noting, and this is interesting, that even if you agree that he's a goy, you could still argue on the psak that made him machal Shabbos. Why? So this is for two reasons. Number one is, one possibility is that there's a difference between a regular goy and a goy who wants to convert. After all, in any conversion process, is it really true that the first time he's ever going to keep Shabbos is the week after he had his conversion? How does he even know what to do? Or better yet, who knows? What's the second thing? I said at the beginning of this year, there's two things that a goy is not allowed to do. It's a capital crime. One of them is goy should Shabbos chayav misa. What's the other one? He's not allowed to learn Torah. Excellent. So how is he supposed to know what to do when he's going to be a convert, a ger, if he's also going to learn Torah beforehand? So this is already discussed in the Rishonim. And you have Makaros, for example, the Tosfos Yeshanim, in Yevamos Daf Mem Ches, the Marsha in Shabbos, Daf Lamed Aleph, that make the point, I have them both on the sheet, that there are times where someone who's in the process of converting, we allow him to do things that a regular guy can't do, because that's how he's going to learn. Tosfos Yeshanim says, regarding Shabbos, Yeshlomer Shazek keeping the daikon his guy here, Matzi Lishbos. Right? That's even, maybe he didn't even have a brismil yet. There's someone who's studying. He didn't even have a brismil yet. But daikon his guy here, plans on converting. He's keeping Shabbos to know what to do. So it talks to be Shabbos. And the Baal Yatos is already Mutter, where the Marsha is talking about the Yisrael Talmud Torah. Also, the calls out Ha'il Fiyad Din Begerim, to us Nipasul Yisrael of Ris, and Nasu Gerim. You're absolutely allowed. Or else, how's he supposed to know what to do? So first of all, you could argue to Rosh Hashanah and say, listen, yes, you're right, he's a guy. Muhammad's still Muhammad. But yeah, he's allowed to keep Shabbos. Heck, he's been keeping Shabbos for a month already as practice to being a Jew. He can certainly keep Shabbos now that he had a bris milah. He's no worse, but he's no better, but he's no worse. A guy who wants to become a convert is allowed to keep Shabbos. That's one way you could argue on his psak. Even if you agree with him conceptually that he's a guy, you can still agree with the psak. A second way you could do that is the Avnei Nezer himself. If you take a look at the Avnei Nezer, he has a little bit of a wild, hard to know how seriously to take this. It gets a little bit on the edge of mixing Hasidus and mysticism into halakha. But he quotes from the Chazal that says that when the Jewish people were at Mara, before Matan Torah, after Egypt, before Matan Torah, at Mara, Shamsam Chavlo Mishpat. They learned certain halachos. In different midrashim, there's different halachos mentioned. But one of the mentioned, this classic mention, is the mitzvah of Shabbos. It says, Avnei Nezer, you see that the Jews, even before they had full conversion, according to the Gemara, the model of conversion is learned out from what happened to the Jewish people at Sinai. So the Jewish people had not done that yet. They had a bris milah, because they needed a bris milah to have a carbon pesach in the shrine. But they had not yet done tefillah in the mikvah or the carbon. Those are brought at Sinai. Those are brought at Sinai. So, says the Avnei Nezer, this guy Sheshava, this guy who has Malo Kabal, he's exactly parallel to the Jewish people in the desert. They were Malo in the shrine, but they're not yet been Tabal at Sinai. And yet we see Shem Samo Chokum Mishpat, that the Jewish people are ready for Mara, for Chayiv and Shabbos. They were Chayiv maybe one or two other things also. They were Chayiv before Sinai in a few things. It was like a preview of coming attractions for the Jewish people to know what's going to be in the Torah. One of the things was Shabbos, says Avnei Nezer. So therefore, you see from this, for all generations, says Avnei Nezer, a goy shemavlo tamal is in the process. Yes, he's still a goy. I agree in a sense. Avnei Nezer could say to Rav Asher Lemel, yes, he's still a goy. But he's chayiv, not just mutter. You hear? Not just mutter. He's a goy, says Avnei Nezer, and chayiv in Shabbos. Just like the Jewish people were at Mara.
Have a marker?
Okay, I was going to put it on the board so you can keep track. But it's not important. The bottom line is, the big picture is, that we're talking about, the big picture is, what is the status? And so far we've only seen one opinion. The status is, he is a goy. Now within that, we have still three opinions. Okay, yeah. You guys can help up. You can follow. He's a goy. But within that, what should he do on Shabbos? So the simple view is, he shouldn't keep Shabbos. He's a goy. It's also. The middle view is, well, but because he's on the way of becoming Jewish, he's allowed to keep Shabbos. And then the most extreme view, and the other extreme, the Avnei Nezer says, yes, he's still a guy, but he's obligated to keep Shabbos. But all three of those agree that what? Goy should Malbo Tavel is a guy. Like the big picture of our topic is, he is a guy. That is opinion number one. Yeah.
According to the Avnei Nezer, how close do you have to be to Gers to be Chayav to keep Shabbos?
I think Mila. Yeah. Yes. Chayav, how should you learn? You're similar to Mara if you had a Mila. Yeah. They needed it to have Korban Pesach. That's the Gemara Yivamos. Yeah, that's the Gemara Yivamos. Okay? Number two. Here comes the Binyan Sion. The back of Edinburgh, Germany. He at the time was editor of a journal called the Shomer Tzion HaNeman, and he published this, the historical evidence that we have for the whole tumult. He published it more or less in the 18th century. He publicized all this in the journal, and subsequently his own tshuvas are included, his own opinion, he included not just in the newspaper, but he included in the journal, but he included in his tshuvas Binyan Tzion. And Yaakov Ettinger disagreed with Rav Asher Lemel. Right? Rav Asher Lemel wrote this letter to Germany thinking he was going to get support. In the end, he got a disagreement. Comes longer of Yaakov Ettinger and he says, I have a different opinion. And his raya, the source for his different opinion, is mainly based in the Tosus and Croesus. Tosus and Croesus says the following. Here he's talking about the Jewish people leaving the triumph who gave themselves a bris. Most of the Jews, you know, they weren't Memphis, but they weren't practicing Brit Mila in the shrine. But there were some who were older people or a small group of people who still kept over the minhag that they had all received. And we learned in this parsha that Avraham was not only obligated Brit Mila, but also all of his children for all generations. That's it. We learned that. So some were still keeping it. So they still were doing Brit Mila. Says the Gemara, says the Tosis, Mikamakam, and therefore he says, in his opinion, Tosis, those Jews who already had Mila, not because Hashem commanded them anew, because they always did. This is what we've been doing with the Zavar of Mila. They did not have to have a new bris Mila. They did not have to have a Tavas Dan bris before Korban Pesach and the Shrine. Only the people who were totally uncircumcised did. Tosis is asking, but that's not, the mitzvah was now given to them. What, who cares about what happened with Avraham? It says Tosis, Mikamakum, Meikara. Listen to this line, this is wild. Shemolu Atzman, Molu Likonis Mebris HaMakum. When they did the bris, they weren't doing it just for health reasons, because someone's a circumcision is healthy, you don't have a urinary tract infection so often if you do a bris mila or things like they say nowadays, when the doctors often will give a circumcision in the hospital for no religious reason, but for medical reasons. That's not why they did it. They did it, likanis for bris hamakom, to enter into the covenant with Hashem, ulibodel mishar umos, and to separate from the goyim. Gam kiyata, kabula. Now, only thing they have left to do is mila, going to the mikvah to finish the job. So, it's not 100% clear in Tosfos, but take a look at what the Binyan see on how he reads Tosfos. Nearly is the idea. Bottom of the page. The Av Sha'adai lo nichnas l'chla Yisrael gomor ar shetavo. Yes, it's true. You cannot become a full Jew until you go to the mikvah as well. That's the Gemara we started this year with. Mikol moko mishar shenichnas l'bris mila bar nivda l'michla benoach. You hear it? A tshuva. It's not, he's not Jewish yet. But what is he not anymore? He's not a guy. And therefore, as a result, Let's go a little bit further. I don't want to push that. But what is the Binyan Sayyid saying? Something amazing. A new phenomenon. We never heard of before. It's on the new census. You could be Jew, Gentile, or none of the above. Says the Binyan Sion, we have this new Twilight Zone category. None of the above exists. Right? We're used to looking at the world as us and them. Says the Binyan Sion, every now and then you have somebody right in the middle. If you have a bris mila l'shem geirus, you're no longer a goy. But since you didn't have the mitzvah yet, you're not yet a Jew. What are you? I don't know, I'll take recommendations. What name should we give them? Anyone have a good name? I don't know. He's Mila Man. I don't know. A tremendous chiddush. What is the nafkamina for us? Says Rav Yaakov Avinger, so once he's no longer a guy, the isser of keeping Shabbos doesn't apply. Now you could have said, you could argue with this and say, even if I agree with you in your wild chiddush, Rav Yaakov Avinger, but in order to keep Shabbos, you have to be a Jew. Not being a guy is not enough. Rav Yaakov Avinger has two chiddushim, the big one and then the little one. The big chiddush is that there's a new category called not a Jew, not a guy. The second chiddush is smaller, but still a chiddush. Is that once you're no longer a guy, the Easter to keep Shabbos is already paka, it already goes away, even though you're not yet a Jew. Because Tosus is lashon is about these Jews in Mitzrayim. Kaven meikara kishemolu atzman molu likanes bebris hamakom ulibodel mishar umos. That's the key. So libodel, those are two categories. Becoming Jewish and libado bisharumos, not being a goy. So they still had to go to mikvah. So the way it goes, the way. Again, huh? the Gemara understands, not here, not in Yavamos, the Makoros, the source for all Gerus, how do you know that? Is based on what the Jewish people did by going from Mitzrayim to Sinai.
Oh, even though
the goy were not. So in that sense, they were considered goy. They were from the Avraham, they were Yaakov, but they were Goyim. The halachic creation of the Jewish people did not happen until Sinai. Okay? So using that paradigm, Tosfos, again, I want to be clear, Tosfos does not say as clearly and as sharply as the Rav Avinger says. And you could definitely quibble with his reading, maybe he's reading too much into it. But that's how his basis is the Tosfos, and he is unequivocal, he is clear. In his opinion, you're neither Jew or Goy, you are in the Twilight Zone. But guess what? That huge chiddush is not the biggest chiddush of the year. Rav Shmuel Salant, chief rabbi of Yerushalayim, a legendary figure, has an even bigger chiddush. And he bases his opinion on a Rajba and Yavamas. The Gemara there is discussing who is qualified or disqualified from eating the Karban Pesach. And as a general rule, we know that we're very strict. Kolben Nechar lo yot labo, certainly Goyim can't eat from the Karban Pesach, and other such things discussed. So the Gemara is discussing a certain nuance in the Pasuk, which it thinks is extra, it's a chiddush. The Gemara says, well, maybe it's lasuye, maybe that's coming to include in this din that you can't eat the Karban Pesach, a ger shamav lo tava. So then the Gemara says, well, that's the case, what do I need that for? Then the Gemara says, no, that can't be it, because mal shalo tava is not a ger yet. But in that context, says the Rashba as follows. Look at the Rashba number 5. Back page. Lasuye ger shvav lo tava. Ukasover eno ger achim lo vietvol. That was the Gemara. Kashaliya says the Rashba, I have a question. Imkain, if I had a havam, it's to exclude him from the Karban Pesach, because he's mal lo tava, that means he's a gun. Vav abishol mal haru ka orel, the havlek arami mohul. He's totally a gun. The fact that he has a bris milah, he's no different than an Arab who went to the doctor and got a bris milah. So why was there a havamina? Again, the point is the Gemara had a havamina that maybe a malv lo taval is not obviously excluded from the Karban Pesach. Ask the Rashba, would you even have that havamina? We already know on the books that a guy can't eat from the Karban Pesach, and we know that a malv lo taval is a gun. So what's the havamina? So the Rashba answers, the shiny hacha de milostal Hashem Yahadus. No, you can't compare this guy, a mavlo tavol, to a non-Jew who just got a medical circumcision. He did a circumcision l'shem Yahadus. And here's the key line of Rashba. Av opishol nigmar geruso. He didn't finish his gerus. V'kamakom kfar hitchil v'nichnos k'tzas bedas Yehudis she'enotzarech ela tzvila. What is the Rashba saying? He seems to be going further even than the Tosfos and Krisus. Further even than Rav Yaakov Edlinger. What is he saying? The Chiddush in Tosfos and the Rav Edlinger was you could be not a guy and not a Jew. What does the Rashba say? The Nichnas, Ukvar Hischil, keywords here. Kvar Hischil, the Nichnas Ktsas. But that's Yehudis. What is he saying? Someone, in your own words.
Partly Jewish.
Exactly. The Rashba introduces a concept which is even more wild. Not that you're not going and not Jewish. You can be a partial Jew. So this is needs to be teased out. This is what Shmuel Salant said. This is his letter that he wrote back to Rav Asher Lamo, otherwise known as the earthquake that hit Rav Asher Lamo's life. La'aniyaz da'ati nira. Borer, it's clear. So first of all, he says, I disagree with your psak. He should have kept Shabbos. And then he quotes the Rashba, Nimsa, the Ledvarev Shem Lo Haya Ba Hakra L'may Ger Melach HaPesach Eis Yomer Shemot HaLechol. We would have had a meeting that Amal Lo Tomach didn't need a Karban Pesach. Hainan Degam Sir Leh Deino Ger V'achilas Zar B'Pesach Chayat Karis V'im Kei V'im Yodi Don Inim Melach HaShabbos. So therefore, if you would have had a meeting that he could have eaten from the Karban Pesach, he certainly should keep Shabbos. Kol shekein shu also lasses malacha. He can't do malacha. Here's the key. Kevin de lo yesh alav krav efeir shatir malacha. Mitam ki kivin de mal l'shem yahadus nichnas tzas v'das yuhudis. We always thought our whole lives until 2 minutes ago you're either Jewish or you're not. There's no partial Jew thing. Says Rav Shmuel Salant based on Rashba, we've been mistaken. Now you'll ask me, is he 10% Jewish, 14% Jewish, 17.4%? I have no idea. That he doesn't tell us. I wouldn't even know how to guess. But he is not a guy, and he's not a full Jew. He is a partial Jew. A tremendous, tremendous Kiddush. Now the truth is that there are other Achronim who reject this understanding of the Rashba. The truth is, and I don't know, depending on who your Rebbeim are, if they focus on this, this Bracha probably does at some point because we share a Rebbe. Rabbi Rosenzweig always used to talk about this when it was relevant to Gemara. They have a Havamina and a Maskana in a Gemara or a Rishon. So sometimes there's a Havamina of X And the Maskan is that X is completely wrong, right? It's destroyed. But sometimes, as the Rambam used to put it, we retain the Havamina, even the Maskana, we just modify it, or we change the application, or something like that. So here also, the Acharonim argue that in the Rashba. The Rashba says, you see, if there was a Havamina to include the Mabul of Tabal, he could eat the Karban Pesach. Kamash Malon. So, Shmuel Salant says, you know what the Kamash Malon is? The Kamash Malon is the technicality. Yeah, there's a pasuk that excludes him. But the assumption, the hanacha, the conceptual understanding that in the Havamina said we would even allow a Mabul of Tabal to eat the Karban Pesach, that is retained even Lamaskana. And that assumption was that he's a little bit Jewish apparently to eat a Karban Pesach. Kamash Malon, no! There's a pasuk, he can't eat the Karban Pesach. But fundamentally, even Lamaskana, he can't eat the Karban Pesach. Other Achronim say, no. The Rashba wasn't saying that at all. Rosh Moslant, you misread the Rashba. The Rashba was saying the Havamina was he's a little bit Jewish. And what's the Maskana? That he's not Jewish at all. It's exactly the discussion from the Gemara Yibaba. This is mimicked here again. Do you need both? Yes. Oh, if you need both, then obviously you can't eat the Karban Pesach. So it's in the Havamina. All the Achronim agree that it's in the Havamina of the Rashba. The Acharonim argue, is it even in the Maskan? Is it retained even in the Maskan? And it's definitely debatable, Rosh Moslat says, so you can't 100% pit another Rashba. Other Acharonim would say, no, you're giving the Rashba bum rap, don't blame it on the Rashba. You want to have your own crazy sheets as you do it on your own time. Don't put on the Rashba. But I don't know, it's hard for me to be Macharia. It's really an eye of the beholder kind of thing. But certainly Rosh Moslat, who's, as I say, no small slouch, a heavy hitter, this is how he read the Rashba. That the Rashba said not only Havamina, but even the Maskara, a Ger Shamav Lo Tavol and Mila B'din Etzvila yet, he is partially Jewish, and as a result, getting back to our case of Muhammad, not yet Moshe, so he wasn't Muhammad or Moshe, he is Mahamshe, at that point over Shabbos. He's already a little bit Jewish, just not all the way. Right, according to Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, he wasn't a guy or a Jew. So he wasn't Muhammad, he wasn't Moshe, he was Mark. So we have Muhammad on Shabbos, that's their usher level, he's totally a guy. We have Yaakov Ettlinger, he's Mark. Not a guy or a Jew. He wasn't his original guy, Muhammad or a Jew. And we have the Shmuslan that he was Mahamshe. Somehow a little bit Moshe, but not yet. He was Nichlas Tzas Adas Yehudis. And it also comes out, potentially, three different Shitas on Shabbos. Is it usher for him to keep Shabbos? Is it mutter for him to keep Shabbos? Or maybe even a chiyuv to keep Shabbos? An amazing, amazing chiddush that would come out if you accept all the way to the end this possibility. We're running late, so I'm just going to tell you quickly, two other nafkaminas of this question, and then I'll stay if anyone else wants to ask questions, but I don't want to hold people up. It's already 7:15. So again, the first nafkamina that we saw of this question, and our question, the meta question, is what is the status of the Ger Shamav Lo Tavol? Three approaches. A goy, not a Jew, not a goy, and even only a little bit of a Jew. Everyone agrees to be a full Jew, you have to do the tefillah too. The question is what happens before then. So the first nafkamina is what about Shabbos? That's what we spend most of our shir on. But just to tell you quickly, two other nafkaminas, the number 6 and number 7. One is the issue of Stam Yenim, right? Wine. It's not, unless it's been yain mevushal, unless it was boiled, but if a non-Jew touches it, then a Jew is not allowed to drink that wine. It's an issur mirabana, that's somebody that writes it, it's an issur mirabana. It's a big discussion in Rishonim, quoted in Torah Shulchan Aruch, what about a ger shamav lo tavol? What do you say about that person? And there also you see a machlokes, some say, have to be machmir after all, mav lo tavol. He's still going. And they'll say, no, maybe we can be mako. Now, why can we be mako? Either because we hold like a Shmuel Salant, and maybe he's already a little bit of a Jew. Or we hold like a Yaakov Ettlinger, he's not a guy anymore. Or we can say, no, maybe he is a guy. What's the whole reason of ossering wine? Because we're worried that you're going to, you know, drink at the bar, and then you're going to marry the non-Jewish Mary. But this is not going to be Mary. She's going to be Miriam. She's on her way to become a convert. Or, how should I say, Michael and Moshe. Right? Miriam can't go to the bar and drink with whoever, right? The point is, he's on his way to becoming a convert. We don't have to worry about an intermarriage. Anyway, but it could be the very technical Hilchos Yayin Stam Yena Machlokes, but there's definitely a Machlokes Rishon about it, and it could very well relate to our issue. The last issue is a very sensitive one. Hatzalah on Shabbos. A Mabul Otoval is critically ill on Shabbos. Mida Araisa, does the din of a Chai Behem apply to him? Does the din of Chal Shabbos Achas, Keshechal of Shishmor Shabbos Harvey, does that apply to him or not? There's a Shach, a very important Shach, and other postkim, including the Tzitzel Yezer, have a big tshuva based on this. So some say, what are you talking about? So we're going to treat him just like anywhere, in any firm doctor now, go back to any city in America, is going to treat a non-Jew, Misham Eva, we don't want it to be controversial, we don't want them to stop treating Jews, but Mikra Din, no, you're not allowed to Mechal Shabbos for Goy Mikra Din, maybe you shouldn't be Mechal Shabbos for him either. Other person say, no. He may not be Jewish 100% yet, but he's already a Malvul Otamal, he's in the process of converting. Maybe we could even have a status at the Chaiban, which is usually only reserved for Jews, maybe that will apply to him. Two other issues, which again, both of these shilas have a lot of layers on their own right, but an underlying issue which would go through, would be a common thread throughout all these shilas, is what is the status of this person? I just want to end with the following diuk. If you look at the first page on your sheet, I never saw anyone make this diuk before. It's not such a huge diuk, but I think it's a good diuk. And number two, we had two Gemaras that we said were parallel. They both say that you need to have Mila and Tevila. And that is true. I didn't say anything that wasn't true. But if you go back to the Gemara now, in light of this Machlokas Achronim, I think you can be medayik that the Gemaras are not exactly identical. The first Gemara, number two, Gemara Nivamos, Amar B'chiyah Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the Olam Eino Ger, Ashimo V'Yitbol. So Eino Ger, he's not a full Jew until Yimo V'Yitbol. But it leaves open the possibility in that Gemara that maybe he is not a Goy either. Maybe he's a mitzvah ger, I don't know. However, in the Gemara Brachos, it's lo'olam eno ger ashimo v'yitbol, v'kamdo tovel, nachrihu. That's not in the Gemara Yevamos, it's not in the Gemara Brachos. So it could be that Rav Asher Lemuel is more meduyot, is more mochruch, based on the Gemara Brachos. There's no wiggle room in that Gemara. He is nachrihu from that Gemara. But it could be, so where did Yaakov Edlinger, again, and just for the record, that is the simple understanding. Nothing in the shir should change that. That's the push-up shot, that's the opinion of most posted. He is a guy. So where did Yaakov Edlinger, Shmuel Salant, who is Gedolei Olam, 19th century, where did they get such wild ideas that there could be these two other approaches? It says they get the Gemara Brachos? Yes. Maybe the smuchim for them comes from the Gemara, not just the Rishonim that they quoted, but the ultimate smuchim, the ultimate basis, maybe a diuk in that Gemara in Yevamos, which did not say, like in those Mar Brachos, that he's a Nachri, just says, ain't no ger. That leaves open the tantalizing possibility that maybe he's one of these other two hybrid options. Have a good Shabbos.